Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the epistle lesson that was read before and which you have in the back of your bulletins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Pentecost was last Sunday, and Pentecost is sort of the celebration of the birthday of the Christ. Today we celebrate Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's sort of a continuation of the celebration of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that has empowered us. It's the Spirit that fills us with the power to live as God's children, as we saw in the children's message. The Spirit needs to dwell in each of us. And so Pentecost, Trinity, is the beginning of the Christian church. 3,000 souls were added to the church that first Pentecost day after Peter's sermon was preached to them. And so we see that that is an example. And our text is a continuation of Peter's sermon. It tells us the basic message that he gave to the people that day. Now that day, they were all gathered at first in the upper room. The disciples, they were praying, sort of again in secret. They had been out and about, but they really weren't very brave or courageous at this point. And then suddenly, as we know, in Pentecost, they heard this sound of a storm, a rushing wind. They went and looked out the window. There's not a cloud in the sky, but the wind was there, creating this noise. And then soon tongues of fire, as we know, appeared on the heads of the disciples. And they began to speak in foreign languages that people around them knew and understood, languages that the visitors to Jerusalem for a special festival of Pentecost were there for. And so now Peter in our text continues, because all these people have gathered to see what all this noise was about. And he tells them that there is a reason why all these things have happened. First of all, he says, Jesus was credited by God to you. God proclaimed Jesus to be his ambassador to the people. And God made it very clear to the people in the things that Jesus did that God the Father had sent him to be our Lord and to be our Savior, to show us the way of salvation. And so he made it very clear that Jesus was his son by the voice from heaven at the baptism of Jesus by John in the river, at the miracles that Jesus did, the signs and wonders that Jesus performed. God the Father enabled Jesus to do all these things to make it clear to the people that Jesus was that special one that he had sent into the world to be our Lord and to be our Savior. Now, all these things were known to many of the people there, as Peter tells them in this sermon. But Peter goes on and tells them that not only did God and Jesus perform these miracles, but he also says that God allowed Jesus to be handed over to evil men, to the scribes and the Pharisees, handed over to Pilate, so that he would be crucified and killed. Those very people that Peter was speaking to that day had been involved in having Jesus taken for trial. They had been involved in his arrest. They had been there for the crucifixion and seen him die. But they were all, as Peter says, guilty of Jesus' death, a death that they remember very well, a death of the circumstances that they also remember very well. But while they were involved in Jesus' death, Peter then goes on and says, that too was part of God's plan. That too was part of God's eternal plan. The plan that Jesus would die for us people. That while the people nailed him to the cross, Jesus was then raised to life by God the Father. Jesus' body didn't see decay, but instead on the third day he rose from the dead. He could not be held in the chains of death, and yet his death was part of that plan of God, part of that eternal plan. Because while sin nailed Jesus to the cross. The people sinned. They crucified an innocent man. But God was able to turn what appeared to be a very evil thing into a good thing. He turned that evil of crucifixion of Jesus into a good thing, because by Jesus dying, he was able to pay the debt of our sin. The wages of sin is death. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the debt of our sin and also the sin of those who nailed him to the cross. But death couldn't hold him. Jesus rose on the third day, just as the prophets had foretold, just as God had planned all along. In fact, Peter says, King David, whom the people respected and revered very much, was a prophet. But he died and he was buried. And his tomb, he says, is with them today. The people of Jesus' day could visit the tomb of Peter, of King David. They could visit it. But you can also go to Israel today and they will show you the tomb of King David. And you can visit the area where he was buried. But while King David's tomb and his bones are still in the ground yet to this day, King David, Peter says, knew by faith that God would raise his body to life. King David knew by faith that he would see his Savior, he would see his God face to face in the resurrection of all flesh at the last day. And so David rejoiced. David praised God because he knew him as his God and as his Redeemer and Savior. And he prophesied the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection that Peter now boldly proclaims to the people has taken place. They had seen Jesus over the past 40 days, seen him several different times in different places. They seen him ascend into heaven. And so they knew that Jesus was alive and risen from the dead. Jesus had also then commissioned them. He said, wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes to you, and then go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Empower them and fill them with the Spirit so that they can live as God's redeemed, forgiven people. Even though they have crucified Christ, they can also be forgiven that sin and live with God. And it's that Spirit of God that enabled Peter that day on First Pentecost to preach to the people, enabled the other disciples to talk to the people around them in their native tongue, their mother language. It was that Spirit that empowered the disciples to boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, that he was their Lord and Savior, even though they still faced threats from the high priest and the Sanhedrin, the council of the Jews, who tried to quiet them and silence them and keep them from talking about Jesus. But what was the reaction to that sermon of Peter that day? We're told that the people asked, how can we be saved? How can we be forgiven our sin of nailing Jesus to the cross? How can we be forgiven and receive this gift of life? And Peter's answer was very simple. Repent. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the reaction that each of us needs to have. Repent of our sins, confess our sins, acknowledge our sins, confess our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then live as God's people. Live as God's people in love and forgiveness. Be courageous in witnessing your faith to your neighbors and others, and you will be saved. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit also. The power of the Holy Spirit will fill you with joy and gladness. God wants to, in a sense, have his Spirit blow you up like a balloon so that you can fully be a human of love, a human of faith, a human with courage, so that we can be his disciples and proclaim the word of God and witness Jesus Christ in our life and in the world. And yes, we need to be careful. Careful that we don't let our life of sin destroy the life that God gives us in the Holy Spirit. And we know that that's a constant battle that we have, the life of sin. Peter faced that much of his life. Peter was always trying to tell Jesus and advise Jesus as to what Jesus should do and how Jesus should react to things. And finally, Jesus had to tell him, "Get behind me, Satan." But then God was also able to take Peter and slowly lead him to see that God's way was the way to go, not Peter's way. Peter didn't have all the answers. And you and I at times think we have all the answers. But we too need to learn to follow God's way. The Spirit can change us. The Spirit can fill us. And look at what happened when the Spirit filled Peter. He was able to proclaim that word of God with courage and power, things that he didn't have 50 days before. Then he was hiding. Then he was denying Jesus. And for the 50 days after that, Jesus' resurrection even, they continued to sort of hide amongst themselves in the upper room and other places, not really being bold and forceful. But when the Spirit filled them, then they were able to proclaim the love of God clearly and forcefully in the open so that all people could hear about God's love and forgiveness. And that's what we need to do as well. Yes, Peter occasionally, even after Pentecost, fell back to his old ways. But then very quickly, the other disciples and God, the Holy Spirit, reminded him of Jesus' love and forgiveness. And Peter repented of those backslidings and came back to faith and continued to proclaim the faith. And we've got the same problems today. You and I fall back into our sinful lives at times. And we need one another to admonish us and encourage us so that we can once again regain the Spirit of God and be able to go forth as his people. And so pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us. Pray that he would make us bold to speak his word so that we can lead others to Christ, so that we can confess our faith and rejoice in Jesus our Redeemer each day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service will continue as we gather the